ओम शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। द टॉपिक आई एम गोइंग टू स्पीक ऑन टुडे इज कीपिंग बैलेंस फॉर रिसीविंग ब्लेसिंग्स। Actually, if you go to see, the moment we become Baba's children, that is, the moment we recognize Baba, we start saying Baba from the heart, we actually become blessed souls. That is, Baba blesses us immediately. But then Baba says, you are number wise. For everything Baba says, number wise. Although Baba loves everyone alike, but you experience that love number wise. According to your capacity, that's what Baba says. It's like the ocean. The ocean is so vast, it's for everyone. But then how much water we take from that depends on us. What type of vessels, utensils we bring to take the water out depends on us. The ocean is open for all. The sun gives light to all. It doesn't restrict itself that I will give sunlight to this one and not to that one. But how much each one takes, it depends on that individual. So just as nature is for everyone, but how much we are able to make use of it, benefit from it, that depends on each one of us. So is the case with Baba's blessings. The moment we take a spiritual birth, Baba gives us a beautiful gift of a divine intellect. And how much we use that gift depends on us. It's like somebody is given a very precious thing, and that precious thing can do wonders. But then how much we are taking benefit of that depends on us. We can sometimes even misuse it. So if there is misuse, then instead of benefit, there will be loss. Instead of any attainment, there will be only taking away or losing. And therefore Baba has given us a divine intellect. But then how much do we use it? On the basis of that, we experience the blessings. Because Baba's knowledge is teaching us how to be on the middle path. In the world today, there are two extreme ends. One is the total materialistic end, where everyone is so materialistic, so much filled with vices, lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, jealousy, hatred, you know, all the bad habits, evils, so many things. And then, on the other hand, we have the other side where people become spiritualist, they give away materialism, but then they become like recluses, sannyasis. They leave their family, their responsibilities, and think that they are like hermits. Maybe before they used to live in forests, but maybe not that much now, but at least they don't want any responsibilities of the world, and they don't even use any of the facilities of this modern world. They are total recluses, isolated also. But then Baba says, you don't have to do both. You have to use the middle path. Baba calls us the unlimited renunciates. In a way, we have renounced the whole world because there is this beautiful feeling that nothing belongs to me. And we add, yes, whatever did belong to me, now it belongs to Baba. So I don't hate anything, I don't neglect anything, but I take it as an opportunity to make best use of it in a worthwhile way. And in this way earn a very large income for the future, because we keep Baba in between. There's no attachment, no greed, no jealousy, no hatred for anyone, no competition, but whatever I have, I'm content with that. And the main aim is that I have to become perfect, I have to become Bab Saman, and all that what Baba wants me to do and become. So we don't neglect, we don't avoid, we don't shun, we don't run away from, but we use everything without being attached to it. This is called the middle path. And this is called the path of balance. Use everything but still not be attached. Have all the facilities, but still not be so attached that you cannot do without them. Don't form a habit. Don't become dependent. Our dependency is only Baba, not on any materialistic objects or not even people. Baba is a guide, Baba is everything for us. So everything, every thought goes towards Baba, not towards any materialistic things. And because of this, we can definitely keep a very good balance and receive Baba's blessings, because we do it according to Baba's Srimad. I won't use manmat, my own dictates, my own opinions, or what human beings say, what others say. I will only do what Baba says. Because I know that whatever Baba wants me to do, it is for my benefit. Baba will not say anything to me which is not for my benefit. Maybe at this time I don't know the benefit, I can't realize the benefit, but ultimately it is beneficial to me and for me. And therefore, Baba teaches us a balance. Baba says, come into sound, but then in a second you should be able to go beyond sound. This is keeping a balance. Usually when people are told to keep silence, they just can't keep silence. They want to talk and talk and talk and talk all the time. And even if the atmosphere is of complete silence, but still they keep talking. Or it is like too difficult for them, you know, to stop. And there are the others who don't talk at all. Every time just silent, silent, silent. You know. Some are suppressive and some are aggressive. So these are two extreme ends. So those who remain silent, they could also be like suppressive. And those who talk too much, they could also become aggressive. But then Baba says both are wrong. You have to talk, you have to speak when the need is, and you should know when to keep quiet. Sometimes Baba asks, which is easier? To come into sound is easier, or to be silent is easier? Which is easier? Say? Which is easier? What will you say? Yes, answer? Which is easier? Maybe it's a difficult answer because actually to be silent should be easier. No, shouldn't it be? Because just don't speak. Silent. Don't have to think also. But although it seems easy, but it can become difficult because we are so used to talking. Also, Baba says, is it easier to come into action or easier to go beyond action and just control your senses? Which is easier? Which is easier? To just go beyond actions and be very quiet, silent, you know, totally detached, nothing to do, introverted, or to be very, very active, very, very active. Which is easier? See? Again, you'll say it's difficult. Actually, to just go beyond sound, to go beyond action and just sit silently, peacefully, introverted, just, you know, not doing anything. But yes, internally churning, internally being creative, all that, that seems difficult. But to be physically very active, this, that, you know, has become very easy. I remember once Moini Ben of New York, she was sharing her experience that very often she loves to sit in silence. You know, she sits and just sits. And people want to go and speak to her. People want to say something to her because they think, oh, she's free. She's free. And it's very difficult to find her free. And therefore, let me go and speak to her. Let me go and ask her something. Let me go and tell her something. Because she's free now. She's sitting free. She's sitting idle. But then, very often she says, it's not that I'm idle, because inside how much churning may be going on, how much remembrance may be going on, how much self-introspection may be going on. So, doing nothing is not like that. And people may take advantage, oh, she's sitting alone and she's not doing anything, let me go and tell her because I hardly am able to meet her or speak to her. But then in that there is so much of doing inside. So physically it may seem that we are not doing anything, but internally so much is happening. But it could be the other way around, the negative side too. Externally very silent and inside so many negative thoughts, so many negative thoughts. Even thoughts of killing and thoughts of, you know, what not can come in the mind. That negative thinking can take us that far. But then if there is a positive thinking inside, then naturally that is very beneficial for the soul. But if there's negative thinking inside, the mind goes astray and who knows where it will reach. And therefore Baba said in today's Murli, children, have you held a court of your ministers? And who are our ministers? What did Baba say in today's Murli? Our mind, intellect, sanskars, and also the eight powers. They're all our ministers. So, have you asked them, how are you? Are you working well? Are you behaving well? Are you doing your work okay? Is everything all right with you? We have to hold such a court. And if we are not able to hold such a court inside, then we cannot become the masters. We cannot become the kings. We cannot become the rulers. So a ruler is supposed to be holding a court and asking his ministers how they are. So this is what Baba tells us, that externally you may not be doing anything, but internally you are holding a court within yourself. And therefore the balance. And if we are able to maintain this balance, we will definitely get blessings, not only from Baba, but also from the family. And therefore Baba says you have to get certificate in four ways. Certificate from Baba, certificate from the family, certificate from the self, three certificates you must receive. First it should be Baba, the certificate of satisfaction, the certificate of contentment, that Baba should be contented with you, satisfied with you. And secondly, from the family should be contented with you. And then the inner contentment. But if it is the other way round, when I'm seeing only myself first, I should be happy, I should be contented, I should get everything, I should have that satisfaction, then it won't work. Then that is called selfish motive. But what will Baba be pleased with? That I have to say. And if Baba is pleased, then second step, what will others be pleased with? And then the self. You know, like we say self before others, where it comes to really changing. When I have to change, let me not expect the others to change. I have to change first. But when it is to give respect, I have to give respect, but then when it is to receiving respect, I should have no expectations. If I have expectations, then, and I don't receive the respect, then maybe I'll feel frustrated. But then I have to change. I have to become the Arjuna, like Baba said today. The one who does it, he is Arjuna. Don't expect the other one to do first. I have to change. So if I do, then the others will do. If I don't, then the others also won't. So not that I will be satisfied only if I do this. That is, I'm just self-centered. No, but I have to give. It's not only for myself. And that will be pleasing God, pleasing others, and then the inner satisfaction will come automatically because I become blessed. I don't have to ask for blessings. You know, people usually on the path of devotion, they say, please bless me, please put your hand on my head. You know, they come right in front and lower their head and say, please put your hand on my head. Well, we say, oh, take the blessing from Baba. Baba gives. We are not sannyasi. Sannyasi is okay, put his hand on someone's head and say, okay, you are blessed. But here Baba says you have to bless your own self by being an obedient child of Baba, by following the footsteps of Baba. So we bless ourselves. So don't ask for blessings. Actually, blessings are never asked for. But blessings can be claimed as a right when we are on service of others. And the blessings come automatically from the heart. It's not blessings just coming in words. They have to come from the heart. And that will come only when the other one is pleased. If that one is not pleased, then, and you haven't won that one's heart, then you also might not be blessed. Because externally, maybe you'll say, okay, you are blessed, never mind, okay. But internally, not that much. Why? Because that one has not won the other one's heart. And if I'm able to win the other one's heart, then I don't have to ask for blessing from that person. I get it automatically. Because in giving, there is receiving. In helping, there is receiving. You know, like we give an example, there's an old man, he's not able to walk, and you just help him to walk, he'll bless you. May you be blessed. But if I go in front of the old man who can't walk and I say, please bless me, he'll say, please first help me to walk. And if I'm able to do it voluntarily without his asking, he'll be so pleased. Somebody falls down and I pick him up, he'll be so pleased. He doesn't have to tell me, please pick me up. But it's an automatic gesture. You just bend down to pick that one up. And therefore, when that gesture comes automatically, then the blessing also comes automatically from the one who has really been helped. And therefore, Baba says, for that, keep a blessing. Keep a balance. In what way we keep a balance? The balance could be in different forms. Like Brahma Baba was an ideal example of a balance. Although he was the father of humanity, but in front of Shiv Baba, he was like a child. Although internally he used to make so much effort, you know, but he used to always reveal that I'm doing nothing. I remember once Dadi Ji was asked, Dadi Prakashmani, she was asked by somebody, Dadi, what efforts do you make inside? What efforts? You know, if you could tell us, then we also would start making such type of efforts. And Dadi said, I don't do any efforts. I'm just moving along with blessings of everyone. I don't do any efforts. That person was surprised. How is it that Dadi doesn't do any effort and it is blessings which is moving her along? But actually, the efforts are not felt as effort because it becomes so natural. It is the love which is moving us. So when it is love for Baba which is moving us, then the effort doesn't seem to be effort at all. And that's why Baba says, if it's love, then there is no thought that it's an effort. A mother will never think that, oh, I'm doing so much effort to look after my child. But she has love for the child and therefore she doesn't think it's an effort. I remember there is a very interesting incident on this about Vivekananda's book. He shared his experience that once he was, you know, climbing a hill. It was quite steep, and he saw a woman carrying her child on the waist, and she was a little bit panting, you know, and the child was not a small baby. It was a few years old, and that child could walk. But she picked him up and carried him, and she was walking up that little hill. And he was watching her. He even watched her that she was panting, you know, breathing heavily. And then, so he just asked her a question, "Mother, why are you carrying such a big burden? Make him sit, make him walk. Why are you carrying this burden?" He used the word burden. "Make him walk. He can walk." And you know what that mother said? "You call him burden? He is my child. You call him burden, but he is my child." Means that love for the child was more important than, you know, making him walk. So that's the feeling. You know, it depends on each individual, how he thinks. Because of the love, that it's not felt to be an effort, is not felt to be a burden. The love covers everything. The love gives the strength. But if there's no love, if something is done reluctantly, then even little bit done is not done happily, and therefore we feel it is too much labor. And therefore Baba tells us that do everything with love. And if we really want to do everything with love, it depends on how much we love Baba. If we love Baba, then we will love everything what Baba tells us to do. But if that love for Baba isn't there, then we will find excuses, we will find faults, we will, you know, find so many sort of different types of weaknesses in that, because that love for Baba isn't there. And we say, "Oh, it's not possible." So many excuses we give. But if the love is there, then no excuse. We don't give any excuse. And if we are really giving excuses, then that is making us heavy. That is really taking away our strength. That is making us tired. It's not the work which is making us tired. You know, usually what is in the mind that which goes on, that if it's heavy, then even little bit if I do, I'll feel tired. But if in the mind I'm very light, then even if I'm carrying very heavy objects or whatever heavy things I may be doing physically, I will not feel the burden, I will not feel the heaviness, I'll not be tired. It's all in the mind. That is what it is. It's all in the mind. If somebody is even physically unwell, but mentally he is very strong, very light, then that physical unwellness also is not a big hindrance. But physically he is strong and mentally he is very weak, then it is assured that for him everything will be difficult. Even if physically that person is strong. And therefore Baba says that keep a balance. How do we keep a balance? What we have to do, whatever is needed when. Like Baba says, you have to be a child as well as a master. Now child and master are two opposite ends. But supposing we are in a meeting and I am asked to give my opinion. But if I say to myself, no, I'm too young here, I'm not that much matured, I'm not old enough, all these are such oldies and they are more experienced, I'm just new, how can I say anything, I better keep quiet. But if I'm asked, that's a respect for me. So if I'm asked, I can give my opinion, why not? Even if I'm new, I can. Baba used to take everyone's opinion, you know, even the young ones. Because Baba would say the youngsters today are more intelligent. They can give their opinion in a better way. But then, whatever opinion is accepted, whatever suggestion is accepted as a majority, then accept it. It's not that I gave my opinion, why was it not accepted? Then why was I asked if my opinion was not to be accepted? It's not like that. So as a master, you give your opinion, what do you think? But as a child, accept whatever is suggested by the majority. So in this way we become the child and the master. So Baba was the same. Baba as a master would give advice, why not? He was a very matured, experienced person in life, in business, Brahma Baba. But then, as a child, he would be obedient of the father. You know, the very beautiful example of Brahma Baba was in 1968 when Brahma Baba was preparing to come to Mumbai, because nearly every year, Baba used to come to Mumbai from Mount Abu in December, January, February, because these months were very, very cold in Mount Abu, very cold. And because it was very cold here, on doctor's advice too, because Baba was quite aged, and there was no Shantivan, no Gyan Sarovar, just Pandav Bhavan. And so doctor would advise Baba that during winter time, don't stay in Mount Abu, because the weather is very cold, because heart conditions are not very good for heart conditions, the heart is not very strong. And therefore, you go to a warmer place. So Mumbai is definitely a warmer place. In Mumbai, we don't see fluctuations in temperature because of the sea, and the sea level is there, and therefore it's all nearly same temperature throughout the year. So Baba used to come to Mumbai December, January, February, and I was one of the privileged one because I took knowledge in Mumbai. I was born in Lokik. His physical body was also born in Mumbai. And therefore, it was my privilege too that I could meet Baba in Mumbai itself. And for 3 months, he used to stay in Mumbai. We used to rent hire a house, and for 3 months in that villa, not an apartment, usually it used to be a villa. And Baba used to stay there because a big hall was needed for Baba to give classes. Sometimes apartment also, big apartments in Mumbai. And therefore, we used to listen to Baba's Murli in Mumbai. So I remember every year Baba would come, nearly. But then in 1968, Baba's program was fully prepared. A house was taken on rent, everything was ready. You know, Baba was to leave Mount Abu. The taxi had also come. All Baba's luggage was, because there were no cars, we didn't have any vehicles in Mount Abu, not owned by Baba. But we used to call for a taxi, and Baba would go in that, and a few would accompany him, and everything was ready. There were people at the railway station, because Baba never travelled by flight. He never went. Always by train. Mama did go by air. But Brahma Baba, Lokik, he never entered a plane. You know? At that time it was not so much in common too. Anyway, so what happened that, you know, whenever Baba would leave, before leaving, there was one sister, Adadi. She was always accompanying Baba, and she was a trans messenger. So before Baba would take leave, like now we go to Baba's room to take leave, no, and take leave from Baba. But how would Baba take leave? Brahma Baba also had to take leave. Now he had to take leave from Shiv Baba. So that trance messenger who used to accompany Baba all the time, because any time Baba had any message to ask from Shiv Baba, he would tell that trance messenger, go into trance, meet Baba, because she was a very quick, fast trance messenger. Like Zadadi too, but she was also very similar because right from the beginning she was with Baba. And Baba used to, actually how she used to go into trance, and she became like the Go Soon, Come Soon Dadi. We used to call her Go Soon, Come Soon Dadi, because Baba wanted to ask something from Baba, Shiv Baba. So Baba would tell her, child, come, this is whatever Baba wants to ask. Baba would tell her and give her drishti and say, child, go to Baba. So go soon, come soon. Go soon to Baba and come soon. So just she would sit in front of Baba and Baba would tell her what she had to ask Shiv Baba. And just maybe only a few seconds of drishti from Baba and immediately she would be in trance. And then come back in half a minute. Not even half a minute. Just like she would go in a few seconds, she would come back very soon to with the message that this is what Baba said. So then Shiv Baba, Brahma Baba would act according to that. So like Baba became a child in front of Shiv Baba. So just like now we do it through touchings. Huh? We go to Baba's room, tell Baba, now Baba, what should I do? And how the touching comes, if the mind is very clean, very clear, we do get Baba's touching, Baba's guidance, what to do. So the trance messenger was very powerful trance messenger. And so when all preparations were made, now it was just time to take leave from Baba. So Baba told that sister, go to Baba and take leave and say Baba is going to Mumbai. And all the luggage was on the taxi, and Baba had to just sit. But before that, Baba would do that. And so when she went into trance, she couldn't find, because she used to see Avyakt Bap Dada. I mean, how she used to meet Bap Dada? Brahma Baba's angelic form and Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba's soul, both shining. So like the perfect Brahma, but Shiv Baba in that perfect Brahma, angelic form of Brahma in light. So she used to see that form and then speak to Baba, and then Shiv Baba would give the instructions. So when she went in the subtle regions, she didn't see Baba around. Baba was not there. She looked around and looking for Baba and couldn't find Baba. And then she came back, because how to take leave? It's like you want to meet somebody to ask something and you don't meet that person. So how to take leave? So she came back. Baba was concerned. I mean, what happened? Because every time she would meet Baba, why this time she didn't meet Baba? Why couldn't she meet Baba? Then Baba, what he did? He said, go again. And then she didn't meet Baba, but she got like a signal, like a red flag, something. You know, red means no, don't go. She saw something like a red flag, like stop. So, and that's what she saw, and without Baba appearing. Because how could Baba say straight away, no, Because Shiv Baba gave so much respect to Brahma Baba. Whatever Brahma Baba would say, Shiv Baba would never object. But here's some addition. But this time Shiv Baba did not want Brahma Baba to go to Mumbai. And really, therefore, she couldn't meet Baba. And then she came back and she got that feeling that Baba does not want you to go. Baba said, okay, fine, I'm ready to not go. So this was in December 1968.
Okay.
And January 69, Baba left the body. That was in Madhuvan. What if he would have gone and he would have been Mumbai? You know, so many things could have happened. But then Baba, Shiv Baba said no. So it was time for Baba to now be in Madhuvan. Not exactly sure whether it was 67 or 68, but it was in the month of December. And I was in Mumbai at that time. I remember how many preparations were made. Oh, Baba is coming tomorrow. Baba is coming to Mumbai tomorrow. And all the tolis were made because Baba coming means so many Brahmins coming, so many children from everywhere. It would be like Madhuvan in Mumbai. And so all the preparations were made. And Baba sent a message that Shiv Baba has said no, that child cannot go. And everybody was surprised, but Baba was so detached. Okay, no means no, so what? Baba has said no. And then, so this is how we learn from Baba, to become a child as well as a master. Master because father. So much intoxication Brahma Baba had. All these are my children. I'm the father of humanity. But in front of Shiv Baba, I'm a child. So child and master. This is the beautiful balance Baba kept. And this is the beautiful balance we see the Dadi is keeping. Whenever Dadi Janki wants to go anywhere, she never will make a program on her own. She will tell Gulzar Dadi, go to Baba and ask Baba, should I go? She's a master, no? I mean, why should she ask anybody? Like, okay, we ask because we have our seniors. And therefore, we ask them if we can go or not. But when somebody is the master herself, why should that one ask anybody else? But she will always ask Dadi Gulzar to ask Baba. And how Baba very sweetly says, yes child, you can go. And then she gets the courage to go. From where she gets the strength, only Baba knows. So when Baba says yes, he also gives her the strength to go, to travel. You know, some people wonder, at this age, how she is traveling. She went to Delhi, came back again, went to Delhi. Well, Baba is really taking care of both the dadis. They also say, we don't do anything, Baba is doing. We are doing nothing. The same thing Brahma Baba also used to say at the end, I do nothing. That's why, you know, Dadi sometimes tells about Brahma Baba. There is one picture of Brahma Baba in which Brahma Baba's hands are folded at the back, you know. His hands are folded at the back. That means he's standing there with hands behind like a observer, just observing, doing nothing. But another picture of Baba's hands in the front, welcoming everybody. So both gestures, welcoming everybody and also holding hands behind as if a very detached observer, like a child, and here the master. So this was what Baba was. Baba had a beautiful balance of being very, very cheerful with introvertedness. One moment Baba would be, you know, so happy, so happy. But the next moment we would see Baba become so peaceful, so peaceful. So quiet, so quiet. It took only a second for that change. Like switch on and switch off, that's all. It's not, you know, when we start laughing, we just can't stop laughing, you know, very often. We laugh and then we keep laughing and laughing and laughing. When it's enough, okay, once enough. But we keep laughing and laughing again and again. No need. Or if we are serious and even if there is a very light atmosphere, we can't even smile. We are like aloof from everything. But then Baba says, you should be in the gathering in the gathering, you should enjoy that. And if there's solitude, enjoy that too. Some people love only solitude. They don't like gathering. I know many people. When they find people around, they don't like people. They don't like people. You know, some double foreigners we used to see in Shantivan, when double foreigners would come and stay in Shantivan along with all the Indians there in thousands. They would say, no, too many people down, too many. We want to be in Madhuban, we want to be in Mount Abu, in Pandavabhavan, Gansara. We don't like to be down. It was too many people. You know what the excuse was? Too many people. Because we are so used to being in solitude, nobody around, alone in my room, doing whatever I want to. I can't be in a gathering, even three people in one room, too much. I want to be on my own. But then, solitude is also very good, no doubt. Because in solitude you can do a lot of churning. But when it is in a, you have to be in a gathering, you should enjoy that also. Like you come to Madhuban, you have this beautiful gathering. You have so many Brahmins from all over the world. So you should enjoy this too. But then doesn't mean that enjoy means you start chatting and gossiping about this one, that one, because you are in a big company. But take the benefit of the company by taking virtues, by picking virtues from each one. This is enjoying the company. But if you start seeing the defects of each one, then we really cannot enjoy the company. That is why you see people these days, they don't like company. They like to be in solitude. And because human being is, they say, a social being, he can't live alone. Impossible to live alone. Because he wants to talk. Now whom can he talk to? Not walls. People talk to walls because they don't have anybody to talk to. So now it has become like a very modern social trend to keep animals. Dogs and cats and you know what, now talking to them. Now I remember one lady, she had five cats at home, And every time she is calling your cats and feeding them, thinking of them, you know, all that. So I said, so many cats you have, you know, what do you do with all these cats? She said, they are my children. They are my children. I said, they are your children? Yes. They are so loving, so sweet. I get angry with them also, but they don't mind. They just say meow and lick my feet and my anger goes. I remember when I went to one place, that lady had two dogs. Very sweet dogs, of course, very lovely dogs they were. So she was an Indian lady in, I don't know which country I went to. So, and she had been married for many years, but she had no children. So her mother-in-law, she was not in Gyan. I went to meet somebody, and that lady was not in Gyan, but her mother-in-law was always complaining that, look at my daughter-in-law, she has been married for so many years, but she has no children. You know, because they think, no child, it's like a curse, you must have a child. So she used to, that lady would say, why do I want children? These dogs are my children. These two dogs I'm looking after, they are my children. And I tell my mother-in-law, think them to be your grandchildren. So I don't want dogs as, I don't want a dog as my grandchild. I want a human being. So it's always this tussle between daughter-in-law and mother-in-law, because the mother-in-law wanted a child and daughter-in-law says, I don't want children, I want two dogs, they are my children and I take care of them. So this is the world today. But then Baba says that when you have to be in solitude, okay, enjoy it. But when you are in a gathering, enjoy that too. And the most beautiful thing which you could enjoy in a gathering is pick virtue from each one. Once Baba said that if you really want to become complete, 16 celestial degrees complete, all virtuous. The easiest way to become all virtuous is pick virtue of each one. Pick virtue of each one. And if we pick that virtue not and inculcate that, then we can become all virtuous. It's not easy, it's not impossible to teach about virtues or values. You can't teach anyone. They say values are not taught, but they are caught. You catch. How do you catch? Oh, this one has this virtue. She's, for example, if I can be silent, I'm very peaceful. And somebody will say, please share that peace with me, make me also peaceful like you. Now how can I make that person peaceful like me? You be yourself, pick this virtue. Somebody cannot smile and say, can say, oh, you smile so beautifully, teach me how to smile. Do you have to teach somebody to smile? You don't have to teach anybody, it should come from yourself inside. And therefore Baba says, virtues cannot be taught, but they are caught. They are picked up. Even unintentionally they are picked up. Even unintentionally we are giving what we have, or what we are. And therefore, this was what Brahma Baba was. But, and he loved the gathering, but he also loved solitude. He loved to be with the children, but then how he would just be on his own. So this is what we have to learn, to love everything. I remember one Sakar Murli in which Baba said, you should have no complaints. Now it is cold, oh it's so cold. It is hot, oh it's so hot. So whether it's hot or cold, if it is hot, okay, you have the facilities to put on an air conditioner or fan or whatever. It's there, no problem. If it's cold, okay, put on your cardigan, put on your warm clothes. But why complain? Once I remember I went to one country. It was, it's quite a cold country there. But then that year it was so warm, so warm. And whomever I met, everyone had the same complaint. Oh, it's so hot. It's so hot. It's so hot. That was the talk of the town. Because that country is always cold. It's never really that hot that it can go to 30 degrees or 35 degrees. Always between 15 and 20. And that day, that year it was over 30. Because climate change, everything is changing. Everything is changing. There's global warming. So those who are not used to that, they find it too difficult. And the more you complain, the more you'll feel it. That's also what we say. If it's too cold, it's too cold. Then if you think of that, you'll feel more cold. But just, okay, get up. And you have the warm clothes. Put them on. Don't worry. And then you'll see the warmth coming in you. So Baba says, this is a balance we keep. In some places I know four weathers on the same day. Even in Mount Abu we see in the morning so chilly, and then as the day, the sun comes up, it gets warmer, warmer, warmer. Afternoon is quite hot, again chilly, again. So it's, but we have to adjust ourselves. This body is very adjustable. It's very adjustable. So instead of complaining, oh, it's so hot now, it's so cold now, it's not going to help. Adjust. Human body is the most adjustable body. You say a frog and a human being, both can adapt to any situation. So human being also can adapt itself. But then it's all in the mind also. And therefore Baba says, we keep this balance. In so many ways we can keep balance. Just like you're happy in the day, you should be happy in the night also. Why? When night comes, oh, I don't like the night. Or, I don't like the day. Day also happy, night also happy. Cold also happy, warm also happy. Up also happy, down also happy. this side or that side. Because happiness is not at the end of the journey, as we say. Happiness is during the journey. So the happiness should not be lost. At no cost we should lose our happiness. At no cost should we give our happiness away. And how do we give our happiness away? By having the negative thoughts. And if we pay attention to that, then naturally, automatically that happiness will be maintained. So, and if we can keep that balance, then blessings also come automatically. Because people see us happy, then they are also happy. And they like to be in our company because we are happy. If I'm not happy, I'm always complaining this, that, nobody will like my company also. Oh, this person is always complaining. And therefore we say there are four types of attitudes. One attitude is, I am bad, you are bad. All are bad. The whole world is bad. I'm also bad. No one is really good. It's like somebody doesn't like his family. Nowadays we are hearing so much news. Three children, wife, two children, shoot them, and then shoot themselves also. All die. Arey, if you want to die, why you shot them? Why you kill them? If you die, then for you, whether they are alive or dead, is no concern at all. But why should they live if I want to die? They also should die. So kill everybody and then kill the self. No one is good, even I'm no good. I'm no good, you are also no good. And the other is, I am very good, but everybody else is no good. What is that? Nobody is good, always complaining about others, so and so like that. But I am very good. As if I have all the virtues and nobody else has any virtues. No? And the third is, I am no good, everyone else is good. Everyone is so lovely, so good, so many virtues, but I don't have. Baba says, even that is not right. Every creation of God has a speciality. And the fourth is, which is the fourth one? I am good and everyone is good. So that is taking a blessing. When I say I am good and everyone is good is taking a blessing. Because when I see everyone good and I am good too, then the blessings come automatically. And through that blessing, we are always light. We always feel uplifted. We always feel that we are just walking effortlessly. Everyone else is moving me. I am not moving myself. You know, like we sometimes give an example in a Kumbh Mela, when there are thousands and thousands of people. Kumbh Mela is the largest gathering in the world. It's visible even from the satellite, you know, from above the space, that when there's a Kumbh Mela somewhere. Because thousands, hundred thousands of people in that Kumbh Mela. And at that time we are not moving, we are not walking, but we are being pushed. We are being pushed, so we don't have to make effort to walk, because that pushing is happening and people are pushing us and we are pushing others, so we are moving forward. So, but actually in that maybe we don't like it, but this is different. We are being pushed means that blessing is working upon us and we are moving forward automatically with that blessing without making our own effort. Without really feeling that we are making the effort, because if what we are really doing is trying to keep a balance, that's all. Trying to pick the virtues of everyone, that's the only effort we have to do. Keep others in the front, okay, keep others in the front. Once there was a guru, very interesting story, a guru. So he had his two disciples and both of them began to fight against each other. One said, I am greater than you. The other said, no, I am greater than you. So both of them said, I am greater. So they said, okay, let us go to our guru. The guru will decide who is greater. So they went to the guru and said, Guruji, you tell us who is greater, am I greater or he is greater? Can you say? Is it difficult to say who's greater? Guruji says, very easy. He said, how? They asked, how? He said, if each one thinks the other is greater, then that one becomes greater. You understand? If I think you are great, that means you will think I am great. Then both are great. So who is greater? Who is greater? So this is a very interesting example, sir. You are great. And so you are great. So both are great. You first. So both keep the other one in the front. Then no fight at all. No quarrel at all. No dispute at all. If I am great or you are great. So this is what Baba is teaching us. And all the barriers break. We see each other as soul. As we are seeing in the world today, all the barriers are increasing more and more. Distinctions, differences are increasing and increasing because of identity crisis. It's a crisis. They are building walls instead of bridges. And therefore, separatism is increasing. And ultimately we are seeing how it will lead to destruction. But in Baba's world, we are coming closer. We are coming closer. Wherever you are in any part of the world, you will say, I belong to Baba. This is my family. We all belong to one home. We are all children of one father. So as we say this, we bring Baba in between. And when Baba comes in between, we all come together like a magnet. It pulls all the needles. So Baba is the magnet which is pulling all of us together. Otherwise, no blood relation, nothing. But it is soul relation, soul connections. And these connections are bringing us in, leading to one spiritual family of God. Okay? Om Shanti. Thank you.